الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. فقال جل جلاله يا بني اذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم رحمتك أرجو فلا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, we are living in a world that has drastically changed over the last 3 or 4 decades. We have seen a major increase in problems, difficulties, hardships, be it on a macro level, the wars, the atrocities, the disasters, the genocides that are taking place around the world. Or be it on a micro level, or on a personal level, some person with some marital issue, some person with some financial issue, some person with some health problem, and other problems, other difficulties, other hardships. And these problems, difficulties, hardships have led to an alarming increase in the cases of depression and suicide. The United Nations World Health Organization released a report a few years ago, which stated that globally 350 million people suffer from chronic major depression. Globally, 350 million people suffer from chronic major depression. And in the United States alone, 16 million adults would have suffered one case of major depression since the year 2012. And this depression has caused the American society a staggering $210 billion. Because when a person is depressed, he now requires health care. And when a person is depressed, then his productivity goes down. He lacks productivity. And because of the cost associated with suicide, which comes about, a person commits because of the depression that he is suffering. And the World Health Organization, the WHO, also stated that annually, around the world, 800,000 to 1 million people commit suicide. And this counts for one suicide every 40 seconds. And the report stated that they fear by the year 2020, this rate will jump up to one suicide every 20 seconds. Suicide is regarded as the second leading cause for death amongst people aged between the ages of 15 to 29. And in the last 40 years, suicide has increased by 65%. So my dear brothers, depression, suicide is on the rise. And unfortunately, we as a Muslim community, we Muslims have not been spared. Speak to the ulama bodies, to the Muslim bodies, speak to Muslim social workers, Muslim doctors, and they will confirm that depression amongst Muslims is on the rise. Suicide, which is not heard of in the past amongst Muslims, is on the rise. In the past, amongst the time of our fathers and our grandfathers, the elders in our crowd will bear me out in this, our families lived in five families living under one roof. And in that home, only one or two people were earning a salary. Space was limited, funds were limited, but everyone was happy and life carried on. But today, a person lives in a palatial home, with all the luxuries and all the comfort that he is disposing, but still this person is suicidal, and the person is depressed, and the person needs to take tablets at night to get a few hours of sleep. The teenage years of a person, which is supposed to be the most carefree years of a person's life, a person is fit, a person is energetic, a person is healthy, very little or no responsibilities. But now we find something called teenage depression, a term which most of us would never have heard of whilst we were teenagers. And my dear brothers, on one hand we have the medical issue, the clinical issue of depression and that things associated with depression. But today, my dear brothers, I wish to discuss with you some of the, or approach the subject and discuss the subject from an Islamic, from an Islamic perspective, and see what does our religion, what does our deen teach us, and what does our deen have to say to us about the issue of depression and the issue of suicide. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah has mentioned that huzn, this aspect of depression, of grief and sorrow, brings absolutely no good to the heart of a person. It never solves anything, it will never solve anything. The only thing it does is yudha'iful qalb, it weakens the heart of a person, wa yuhinul azm, it dampens the spirits of a person, it demotivates a person, wa yadurrul irada, and it stops a person from fulfilling his ambitions, and it stops a person from fulfilling his goals. Al-Imam Al-Iz bin Abdus Salam rahmatullahi says, what is depression? Depression is istizgharun, istizgharun bi sa'ati rahmatillahi. وَذَٰلِكَ ذَنْبٌ عَظِيمٌ وَتَدْيِيقٌ لِفَضَاءِ جُودِهِ. He says to become depressed, to lose hope, to despair, this is to undermine the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To treat the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as something small, something insignificant. وَذَٰلِكَ ذَنْبٌ عَظِيمٌ. He says this in itself is a very, very great sin. And by becoming depressed and losing hope, you are limiting something that is unlimited. Allah's benevolence, Allah's kindness, Allah's mercy is unlimited. When a person becomes depressed, he thinks that Allah's mercy will not come to me. I will not be a recipient of Allah's mercy. And thereby he is limiting the unlimited mercy and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Abdullah bin Mas'ud rahmatullah is saying, Akbarul kabair, major sins, al-ishraku billah, for a person to ascribe partners to, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-amnu min makrillah, for a person to go on sinning and without even thinking that my sins will catch up with me. And وَالْقُنُوتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَالْيَأْسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ, to despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person to lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the issue of suicide, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was once out in a battle with his sahaba. Amongst the Muslim army there was a person who was fighting very, very bravely, very, very valiantly. Sahaba were amazed, were taken aback by the valor and the bravery of this person. Allah's Nabi said, this person is Jahannami. The Sahaba were confused. There's no one in the army who has fought more brave than this person. But how come is Allah's Nabi saying that he is a Jahannami? So one Sahabi says, I will fix my gaze upon him and see what is it that causes Allah's Nabi to say this person is Jahannami. He says this person was fighting and then he became wounded during the battle. And he could not tolerate his wounds any longer. So this person took his sword, he dug the handle of his sword into the ground, and he threw his body over the sword, causing the sword to come through his chest and come out through the person's back. This person had committed suicide, because Allah's Nabi said, this person is Jahannami. Allah's Nabi in Riwayat Bukhari Sharif mentioned, there was a person amongst the people of the past who had a wound, and this person could not tolerate the pain of this wound. So a person took a knife, حَزَّ بِهَا يَدَهُ, the person with this knife, he slit his wrist. فَمَا رَقَى الدَّمُ حَتَّى مَاتَ, the person continued to bleed until he bled to death. Allah Ta'ala addressed this person. Allah says, بَادَرَنِي عَبْدِي بِنَفْسِهِ فَحَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, this person had taken his life prematurely, so I have made Jannat haram for this person. Allah's Nabi said, that person who commits suicide, the agony and the suffering and the pain that he experienced while committing suicide, the person will continue until the day of Qiyamah to suffer the same agony and the same pain that he had suffered while committing suicide. So a person who is suicidal and a person who is contemplating suicide, thinking that my suicide will bring an end to my difficulties and my suicide will bring an end to my worries, fails to realize that by committing suicide, is only opening up to himself a new world of pain, a new world of agony, pain and agony that is far beyond any worry or any problem of this world that causes a person to become suicidal or causes a person to commit suicide. So my dear brothers, this issue of suicide, this issue of depression is one tool and one weapon in the armory of Shaitan. Shaitan is very, very smart. Shaitan is very, very shrewd and cunning. A mu'min by nature has hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma rahmataka arju.
daily in our witr salah, we read the dua, نَرُجُوا رَحْمَتَكَ. Wallah, we have great hope in your mercy. And this mercy and the hope that we have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what drives a believer. It what motivates a believer, which keeps a believer, moving towards his ultimate destination. But when a person goes through some difficulty, through some hardship, and then shaitan enters the door, and he sneaks in, and now he creates a sense of despondency in a person, and he creates a sense of isolation in a person, he creates a sense of loneliness in a person, and then this leads a person now to become depressed. And if this person's depression is not checked very soon, then the outcome and the results of this can be devastating. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi said that inna habba shayin ila shaytan in yahzan al-abd al-mu'min, that the thing most loved by shaytan loves nothing more than for a believer to become depressed. Why? لِيَقْطَعُهُ عَنْ سَيْدِهِ وَيُوْقِفَهُ عَنْ سُلُكِهِ. So the person, so shaitan, by making a believer depressed, he now hinders a person from his path. He now takes a person off his path, the path which he was treading towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the path towards building his akhirah. So my dear brothers, depression, suicide is from shaitan. And I wish to share with you a few advices, a few teachings, which inshallah if a person will inculcate in his life, this will save a person from becoming depressed. And those who are suffering depression, inshallah, if they try to act upon these teachings, then this will help him to remove his depression and for the person to walk out of his depression. The first thing, my dear brothers, is that it's very, very important is that we condition our minds. We condition our minds to accept and concede that life will be riddled with challenges. Life will be riddled with challenges. Life will have its ups and downs. Life will throw you that earth curveball. Allah has not guaranteed any person on the face of this earth that life will be all smooth sailing. Life will be all easy. Rather, on the contrary, it says, أَلِفْ لَا مِمْ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ يَتْرَكُوا يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يَفْتَرُونَ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرِ. Allah Ta'ala says, definitely I will test you. By my qasam, I will test you, and I will test you in various ways. But my dear, but how a person conditions his mind. If a person, many times a person feels that life will be all smooth sailing. Life, things will work out as I had planned, as I expected. And when things turn out contrary to the person's expectation and not as he planned, then the person now becomes depressed and the person becomes suicidal. But if a person conditions his mind and realizes this is the system of dunya, this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, life will have challenges, life will have difficulties. By conditioning his mind in this way, it won't save a person from difficulties, it won't save a person from hardship. But what it will do, that when that hardship does come, the person will now be mentally prepared. He'll be mentally prepared to face this challenge and cope with this difficulty, and thereby being happy with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not becoming depressed, and not becoming anxious, and not becoming suicidal. So my dear, it's important that we condition our minds in this way and understand that life will have ups and downs, life will have challenges. Secondly, my dear brothers, in our lives, when we face any difficulty, any hardship, any depressing situation, then instead of us losing our minds and becoming hysterical and giving in to our emotions, rather at that time we should counter and we should face this difficulty with sabr, with patience, only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not say things, we should not do things that are not becoming, that are not befitting for a Muslim to say or do. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a son by name Ibrahim ibn Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A young child in Medina Munawara, as was the habit of the Arabs at that time, when they had young children, they would give the child to some witness, for the witness to breastfeed the child and to bring up this child. So Allah's Nabi had given his child to a certain household. And Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that we accompanied Allah's Nabi to go and visit his child. We go there one occasion, Allah's Nabi picks up his child. He embraces his child, he hugs his child, and he takes in the scent of his child. And he says the second time we go, and there this child is in the pangs of death. Allah's Nabi is tearing. Allah's Nabi is crying. Abdurrahman bin Auf says, oh Allah's Nabi, you are crying? You are crying? Says, oh Abdurrahman bin Auf, this is the mercy which Allah Ta'ala has put in the heart of every person. And whilst you were there, this child of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away. Allah's Nabi is overcome with emotion. He's overcome overcome with emotion, he's crying. But he says, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعْ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزَنْ وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى رَبُّنَا وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. And oh Ibrahim, he says that the eye is tearing and the heart is sad. But at this juncture, we will only say that thing which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not let our emotions get the better of us. We will be patient and only say those things which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And oh my beloved son Ibrahim, we are very, very saddened by your loss. Now Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once walking. He comes across a lady who is wailing at the grave of some relative that has passed away. Allah's Nabi says, O woman, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be patient. This woman did not realize that the person talking to her was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي. Please go away from here. You do not know the pain that I have gone through at the loss of this beloved person of mine. The people tell her, do you not realize that the harsh words that you have said, the person who have said the harsh words to was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This woman immediately races to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, I come to the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And unlike the kings of the world, Allah's Nabi did not have any guard, any doorkeeper at the door. She comes to Allah's Nabi, Allah's Nabi, I am very, very sorry. I did not realize that the person talking to me was you. Allah's Nabi says, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَىٰ. O woman, now when the emotions have settled, it's very, very easy to say, I have sabr. Rather, true patience, true sabr, is when that initial news you receive of some loss of life or some loss of wealth, at that time to be patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is true sabr. Hadith Sharif says, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهِ وَمَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً خَيْرًا وَأَوْسَعَ مِنَ السَّبَرْ. That person who wants to be patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant him patience. And no person can be given a favor greater than the favor of sabr. Quran Sharif says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to those who are patient. Who are they? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those people who, when any difficulty comes to them, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Those people, Allah's special blessing is upon them, and Allah's mercy is upon them. So when a person goes through difficulty, and he makes sabr for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's attracting Allah's special mercy and Allah's special blessings. So that person who has Allah's mercy and Allah's special blessings, during his difficulty, Allah ta'ala will make ease for him and Allah ta'ala will make a way out for him. Ahmad Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala says, when my first husband, Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala passed away, Allah's Nabi came to visit me to make my ta'ziyah. And he taught me dua. The dua is, Allah, ajurni, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayra minha. O Allah, reward me in my difficulty and give me a better replacement. As Ummu Salama says, I thought to myself that where in the world will I find a better husband than my deceased husband Abu Salama? But he says, I recited this dua. And true to the promise of this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away my difficulty, Allah took away my pain, and Allah gave me a better replacement. Allah got me married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So be patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will remove your depression, and Allah will remove your sorrow. Then, my dear brothers, we have to become grateful and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors that He has bestowed upon us. And stop moaning and groaning and mumbling and grumbling about all the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given you. If a person can bring this into his life, this is the ultimate recipe for a person's happiness and satisfaction in this world. But unfortunately, my brothers, today, a person looks at the lives of other people, the standard of living of other people, and he sees that I cannot match them, and my standard of living is not like that person's standard of living. And this now causes a person to become depressed, and to become sad, and to become anxious. Every one of us sitting here, my dear brothers, and likewise, every person out there is favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simply take a look at the condition around the world, and you will realize how favored we are by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Nabi said, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فإنه أجدر ألا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. That look at those who are lower than you. Look at those who are in a worse off position than you. And do not look at those who are in a better position than you. If a person will do this, then a person will be grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. As we always hear, my dear brothers, there's always somebody, no matter what we are going through, there's always someone in a worse position than us. We hear this very, very often. Recently, I got the opportunity to see a practical example of this in our lives. A person I know had some accident at work. Some heavy machinery had fallen on his foot. So I went to visit the person in the hospital. He had broken some bones in his foot. So I went to see him. It was difficult for him, a very active, healthy person, knowing that now I'm going to be confined to the hospital bed for a few days and confined to crutches for some time. But this person was there, alhamdulillah, his spirits were up. But remember, there's always somebody in a worse position than you. So after visiting this person, alhamdulillah, his spirits were good. He told me, Mulana, if you want, there's another Muslim person in the cubicle next to me. There's only two beds in that ward. Another Muslim person in a cubicle next to me, perhaps you want to visit him as well. So he said, alhamdulillah, opportunity to get more reward, let me go. So as I go into the next cubicle, on one hand, the person I went to visit only broke some bones in his foot. The person I went to see had his left foot amputated. Had his left foot amputated. I met this brother later on, the brother who had broken his foot. I told him what a life lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught you in the ward of that hospital. He said, you know how much shukr I was making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My bones are broken. Inshallah, if the men get back together again, and soon I'll be back on my feet. But this person, I will never ever walk on his foot again. So no matter what position we are in, my dear brother, there's always people in a worse position than us. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And today we have social media, my dear brothers, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and a person follows the lives of other people. That person one day in Dubai, one day in Phuket, one day in London, one day dining at some fine restaurant, the next day in new car, and a person looks at this. He looks at this and he says, I do not enjoy the favors of all of this, all these favors. And a person now becomes depressed. He now becomes anxious. I know of people, my dear brothers, who are short of nothing in their lives. They live comfortable lives. Because they spend the entire day on the social media, they look at the lives of other people, they become depressed, and they become angry with their life. So be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all Allah's favors upon us. Then, my dear brothers, very, very important is that we remain in the dhikr, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran Sharif says, "Man a'rada 'an dhikri fa inna lahu ma'ishatan danka." That person who turns away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course he will live a difficult, a depressing, a stressful life. Another hadith says, "Fadhkuruni adhkurkum." Remember me, I will remember you. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Those who understand Arabic will understand this ayah, this restriction. Allah is saying, only and only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do the hearts find satisfaction. That means you will never find a cure for your depression, for your grief in any medication, in any hospital, in any therapy. The only place you will find a cure to your depression is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worst thing for a person who is depressed to do is to lock himself up in his room, in his dark and gloomy room, of a person the entire day to spend on the internet searching about his problem and discussing and going onto forums, discussing his problems with other depressed people. This will only cause a person to become more depressed. Rather come into the masjid, come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By dhikr, I don't only mean take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Engage in salah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bisabri wa salah. Seek help in your heart, in your difficulties, by means of salah. Make tilawat of Quran. Tilawat of Quran is shifa'u lima fi sudur. It is a cure for your sad heart. Make istighfar. من لزم الاستغفار جعل الله له من كل ضيق مخرجا ومن كل هم فرجا. That person who makes a lot of istighfar and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will make a way out for him from all his difficulties. Make dua and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find, my dear brothers, in the treasure of a hadith, there are beautiful and powerful duas taught to us by Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam to help a person overcome his depression. Go to the ulama, sit in the company of the ulama, and learn these duas of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, which will help a person overcome his depression and overcome his worries. And the last thing, my dear brothers, time is running out. The last thing, my dear brothers, we should only be doing those things and associate with those people who create positivity in a person, who motivate a person. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, study a hadith, and you will find Allah's Nabi was a person who oozed confidence. He oozed positivity. Allah's Nabi, كَانَ يُعْجِبُهُ الْفَأْلُ الْحَسَنُ وَيَكْرَهُ الْطِيَرَةُ. Allah's Nabi would love good omens. Those things that created positivity. Allah's Nabi would like that. When Allah's Nabi would stay away from negativity, from bad omens, those things that create negativity, Allah's Nabi would stay away from it. In the Ghazwat Khandaq, a very, very trying, difficult time for Sahaba, Allah's Nabi and Sahaba are digging the Khandaq, they are digging the trench. Sahaba come across a very, very big boulder. Already the morale of Sahaba is down. They are facing a very, very daunting task of facing this large army. They call Allah's Nabi, Allah's Nabi, we have a problem, a certain boulder we cannot remove from the trench. Allah's Nabi takes the axe, sensing the negativity among Sahaba. Allah's Nabi takes his axe and he hits the rock and one third of the rock breaks. Allah's Nabi says, Allahu Akbar, u'titu mafatih al-Sham. Allahu Akbar, I can see it. Allah has given me the keys of Sham. Allah will cause my ummah to conquer Sham. Allah's Nabi strikes the boulder again. Allahu Akbar, u'titu mafatih al-Faris. I've been given the keys of Persia. Strikes it a third time and the entire rock breaks. Allah's Nabi says, Allahu Akbar, u'titu mafatih al-Yaman. I've been given the keys to Yemen. My ummah will conquer Yemen. And because of the positivity of Allah's Nabi, this rubbed off unto Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and this motivated Sahaba and caused them to move towards their goals and aspirations. And may you better stay away from those things and those people who create negativity in you. Those people who stress you, those people who depress you, those things that stress you and depress you, stay away from it. I know people who, they cannot stand to read about the atrocities being carried out upon the Muslims around the world. So this person should not be reading about this. He should not be following the news about the atrocities around the world. Allah's Nabi, Bukhari, right of Bukhari Sharif, Wahshi was the person who killed Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Lengthy incident. When it comes to Allah's Nabi to accept Islam, Allah's Nabi says, Anta Wahshi, are you Wahshi? He says, Naam. Anta qatalta Hamza, you are the person who killed my beloved uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu. He says, Allah's Nabi, the news that has reached you is true. I killed Hamza. Allah's Nabi said, Oh Wahshi, I accept your allegiance of Islam. But can you do me one favor? Can you please stay out of sight? Because every time I see you, I become depressed, I become sad, because I think of my uncle Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So those situations, and those people, and those things that create negativity, stay far away from that. Inshallah, through this, a person will be saved from depression, and a person will be saved from anxiety.